Well, I just pray that the Lord would bless this morning. First, I wanted to say the family wanted the saints here to be thanked for all the food and all the things that you did for the family. Brother Curtis wanted me to thank the sisters and said how much they appreciate everything, the food and all. He said it was tremendous. And he just kind of went on about it like it was really amazing, the outpouring of love to them. So we just want to thank everyone for that. Well, I pray that the Lord would help us this morning. I have prayed for this service. I've learned to not argue with the Lord when I know He's given me something. And so I want us to talk about discernment this morning. And about learning to discern the Lord's way. And learning to discern those things that are good and those things that are not good. In Proverbs 2 and 9, I want to read a scripture here. The writer says, Proverbs 2 and 9, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." You know, the Lord, through inspiration, tells us that we can understand the things of the Lord. We can understand every good path. We can understand something about the things that are good for us and the things that aren't good for us. There's things in our spiritual lives and even in our physical lives that people will begin to partake of that. Some things are very beneficial and healthful, and other things are very unhealthy. And the Lord wants us to know the difference. A lot of people in today's world does not know the difference between things that are good for them and things that is not good for them. Things that are good for the family and things that are not. The scripture here says, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness." And I don't know that we're going to get to the rest of those verses this morning, but I want us to just take that thought home with us today and go back and read the first part of that chapter. It tells us something about how to get to that place. But it says you'll understand righteousness and you'll understand judgment. You know what judgment is? It's making a judgment call. That's what this kind of judgment is talking about. It's making a decision on something. And equity. Those things that are equal. Those things that are straight and right. The Lord wants us to understand those things. In our world today, people do not understand those things. I've seen people begin to take into their lives things that I knew was going to destroy their spiritual life. And yet they wanted to live for the Lord. And they began to take things in, began to do things. And before long you saw their faith undermined. Or you saw them get into a situation where they fell to it. You know, the Lord doesn't want that to be the case this morning. He wants us to grow and prosper like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And that's what He expects His people to be. And so, yes, I'm still kind of speaking somewhat to the ones that are newly saved and the ones that have newly given themselves to the Lord. And yet to all of us this morning, the Lord wants to give us some things that will be a blessing to our life. The Lord wants to put things into our life that will be a blessing to our children. You know, we long, every one of us here, I'm suspecting, every one of us want our children to be saved. We want our children to know God. We want them to, in eternity, to spend it in heaven. We don't want them to spend eternity in hell. And so it's a great concern to us, is it not, that those things come across to those children. You know, the Lord wants us to know some things to put into their lives and to bless them and to help them be eternally prepared. God wants us to prosper in the things of God. And He's given us His Spirit, and He's given us His Word. And He gives us constantly reminders in our soul about things so that we won't make the kind of mistakes that some people have made. I want to start in 1 Kings 3 and verse 5 and read a little bit here about Solomon. When he became king, he knew, and this is a key to the whole thing, Solomon knew he didn't know what to do. And so he began to pray. And it says in Gibeon 3 and 5, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now I will tell you something. Solomon had just become king here. He had just received a new responsibility. You know, this morning you and I receive new responsibilities sometimes, don't we? We receive many things. Sometimes it's a new job. Sometimes it's a new husband or a new wife. Sometimes it's children. You know, we receive responsibilities we did not have yesterday. And I believe God wants to work with us. And He saw Solomon. He saw the needs that he had. And so He asked Solomon. He said, ask what I shall give thee. You think the Lord doesn't work with us when our hearts are turned to Him? I want to tell you, you turn your heart to God, and He'll start working with you just like you're trying to work with Him. And it says here, I'll drop on down to 7, and it says, and now, O Lord my God, Thou hast made Thy servant king instead of David my father, and I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Now, was Solomon a little child? No, he wasn't a little child. He was a grown man. But in his heart, he knew, I'm like a little child to take this new responsibility. I don't know how to do this. I'm not grown in this area. You know, that's a key for us. It's called humbling ourselves before God. And we humble ourselves to the Lord and we say, Lord, I really don't know how to do this. Because I will tell you, we don't have to do that. And I've seen a lot of folks that don't do that. I've seen folks that had children that didn't want anybody's advice. They didn't want to hear. They wanted to do things just their way. I will tell you, it will do us very well for us to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I have a new responsibility here. Or Lord, I have the responsibility of my life and I don't know how to live. I don't know how to do this in such a way that really pleases You. And you know, as we begin to call out to God, you know what? He begins to work with us. And He equipped Solomon for the job that he had to do. Now, my thought this morning is discernment. Learning to discern by God's grace and help those things that will bless our lives. And learning to discern those things that won't bless our lives. And there's lots of both out there. We drop on down from verse 7, and Solomon says in 9, he says, after the Lord gave him his desire, what do you want? You want riches? He didn't say that necessarily, but he just gave him his choice. You can ask for riches. You can ask for whatever you want. I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. Lord, I need an understanding heart to know how to make good decisions with this new responsibility that I've got. That I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? Now that sounds just like, well, that's a no-brainer. Judge between good and bad. Everybody knows the difference between good and bad. No, they don't. The Bible speaks of a nation and He says, woe to the nation that calls good evil and evil good. We live in that time today where they're looking at the very things that our lives are founded on and calling them evil, calling them wrong, calling them foolish. And the things that we know God hates, the things that destroy nations and families, we see them embracing those things, don't we? All the time. Woe to that nation. It's an unwise thing. It undermines the underpinnings of the nation, and it's unable to remain in its strength. No nation ever continues in that way. And so Solomon prayed for the Lord to give him understanding. And I'll tell you what God's response to that was. In verse 10, it says, "And the speech pleased the Lord," that Solomon had asked this thing. "And God said unto him, because thou hast asked for this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies." You haven't been selfish. You ask me for something that you could bless other people with, Solomon. You didn't ask for the necks of your enemies so you could expand your kingdom. You didn't ask for great riches. He said here, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." Now I will tell you, it was not Solomon's wisdom that got him in trouble. It was his lust. That's what got Solomon in trouble. His wisdom blessed his kingdom. The understandings that God put within his heart to be able to have wisdom to discern between good and bad, and to discern those things that would make people contented in his kingdom and blessed in his kingdom, those things did not undermine Solomon. It's when Solomon's lust got out of control. That's what undermined him. You know, this morning, I just want to encourage us to ask God. I'm just going to scratch the surface this morning, and maybe the Lord will give us more later. I don't know. But I just want to put within us the desire, Lord, teach me to discern in my life, that I don't land up 20 years from now, 30 years from now, and say, "I'm sorry it was so. I wished I'd have known then." You know, the Lord wants to tell us now. He really does. He wants to share with us now the things that are keys to our life, things that will bless our children and give them a hunger for the things of God. You know, there's things that you can do. You can make fertile soil in your home, a fertile place for the gospel to seed into the children. The children have to make up their own decision. I know that, but I want to tell you, the Lord can help us to have a very fertile soil for our children to live there. Our work and the things that we do, our marriage relationship, there is answers. God wants to give us wisdom and discernment to know the difference between good and bad, so that the Lord can bless His people. I've been praying, "Lord, please let Your Spirit rest upon this congregation. Call from our midst. Call ministers. Call teachers. Call those that would do the work of God, the gift of helps. Those that would do as Brother Delmer did. You never heard from him. I didn't ever hear him preach a message from the pulpit. But I will tell you, he preached a message, did he not? God wants that to be so. But I will tell you, we have to open our hearts and our lives to Him and let Him teach us how to live, that He might prepare us to be vessels to honor in His work. I looked up the word discernment in the dictionary, and it says the act of discerning, also the power or faculty of the mind by which it distinguishes one thing from another, as truth from falsehood. Now, is there really some things that are concrete in life? Are there really absolutes? Are there really things that are true and things that are not true? Yes, there is. All the world is builded upon facts and truths, and God wants us to know that. Power or faculty of the mind by which it distinguishes one thing from another, as truth from falsehood, virtue from vice. Lots of people in our world today do not know the difference between virtue, things that are honorable, things that bring praise to God and build our lives in a godly way, and vice, things that entrap, things that they believe that you go out in the world, you enjoy all things that you can. You know that's a vice. You give way to your lust and you begin to open your heart to whatever your heart wants. And I will tell you, you'll be a miserable person. I will guarantee it. You will be a very miserable person. You open your heart to every lust you can come and get into, everything that makes you sing at the moment. I want to tell you, you will be miserable. Do you want to live and have life and see many good days? Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Learn to discern those things that are good and those things that are bad for our lives. God wants to build lives here that are solid, solidly founded on godly things, where God Himself puts His approval and His anointing upon our lives. That's not just for a minister. That's for all of us to have God's approval upon our life and His Spirit working with us. The difference between virtue from vice, acuteness of judgment, power of perceiving differences of things or ideas. The power to be able to do that, that's discernment. And their relations and tendencies. The errors of youth. Listen to this. This is dictionary. The errors of youth often proceed from the want of discernment. The errors of youth that throw people into many years of trouble and sorrow and heartache. Many times they proceed from the lack of discernment. The lack of realizing this is not good for me. This is the last thing I need. You know, the Lord wants us to know ahead of time that's the last thing I need. He wants to teach us those things. But I will tell you, He wants our hearts to be open. Lord, teach me Your ways. Show me Your paths. Lead me into the ways of life everlasting. And lead me to those things that are high, to the rock that is higher than I. You know, we may not just have a new responsibility, but we may just want to be more effective than we've been before. You know, if there's ice cubes in a hot cup of drink, I will tell you, it won't be hot. And when our life is filled with ice cubes, when it comes to the things of God, and we've got little ice cubes all over, and we want a fervency within our soul, it's not going to happen. We're going to have to allow God to help us to remove those ice cubes, remove those things that cool us down in the things of God. The Lord wants the natural state for His people is to be hot in the things of God, to be have fire within our soul and within our life. And He wants to work with us. He wants to bring that about. But we have to remove those things that He would call evil, those things that would hurt us. I want to say, you know, if we want to learn to please God, to be able to discern what's right and wrong, that has to be the motivation. To just decide, I don't want to make mistakes. I really don't want to take God's way, but I don't want to make mistakes. You will never discern the right and wrong things. Not many of them you won't. We have to learn and want to please God. When we do that, He'll put within our heart and life, just like He did in Solomon's heart. He wants every one of us to have a heart to know to discern what's good and bad for our lives and for those around us, for our homes, for our jobs. The Lord wants to teach us how to work in those areas. If we don't want to only try to learn what is wrong, true discernment comes from learning what really pleases God. That's where true discernment comes from. When we do that and we really want to please God, you know, the evil will just never fit into that mold. It'll never fit in because we're wanting to please God so badly. Lord, I want Your will to be done. Become alert to the things that please God and to those things that displease Him. The first thing we have to decide is, whatever God requires of me, I will do. Period. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. If he requires it, I will find a way to crucify myself, and I'll live that way by the grace of God. I'll get a hold of him. If I have to pray all night, I'll pray all night. But I am going to get a hold of the things that God requires of me. And you know, when we decide that at any cost, I only want to know what he wants. When you decide that, God works with you. I want to read part of the story. I'm going to skip around here so it don't take too long. But in 2 Kings 18, we have read this before. It's been quite a while back. But 2 Kings 18, starting at verse 1. Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel that was really blessed of the Lord. He saw the Lord work mightily. He saw God's hand work. So he was no stranger to the things of God. But I want to read what happened to Jehoshaphat here at this time. We always have to be on our guard. It says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign." I'm sorry, I'm in 2 Kings here. 2 Chronicles 18. I'm not sure what I said. 2 Chronicles 18:1. "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance." The Lord had blessed him with that. And it says, "and joined affinity with Ahab." Do we know who Ahab was? He was the Lord's enemy. He was a wicked king, a wicked man. And Jehoshaphat, so blessed of the Lord, goes down there and makes a league with Ahab. And gets in good friends with Ahab. He becomes a real ally here. Now, think about that for a minute. Was that using any kind of discernment? But it gets a lot worse from there. And folks, I want us to remember something. He was in the wrong place here. And so he began to make major mistakes. Let's keep our lives right where God wants it. Don't make affinity. Don't make a league with sin, with the things of the world, with those that love the world. Make your friends, your real friends, make with godly people that will really challenge your life. God wants it to be so. Let it be so in our lives. Shun those friends that would drag us down. Shun those ones that would cause us to err. Now look at this life of his, this happening. "And he joined affinity with Ahab, and after certain years he went down to Ahab to Samaria." Now this went on for a while. "And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, 'Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead?' And he said, answered him, 'I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war.'" What a foolish mistake could a man make? But he joined up with this evil and wicked king. Don't join up with evil and wicked things in our life. Don't join up. You're fixing to make some grave mistakes that may cost you everything you've got. In verse 4, "And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, 'Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today.'" Now, Jehoshaphat was a man of God. He was used to asking God what to do. And so he told the king of Ahab, "Now let's inquire of the Lord." Now, this wicked man, you're going to inquire of the Lord with him? "And therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men and said unto them, 'Shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?' And they said, 'Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand.'" Now, you know, Jehoshaphat, here were these 400 prophets, not prophets of the Lord. These were prophets of the world. Okay? And the Bible tells us, doesn't it, not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly? And here he heard these 400 men. One of them got a set of horns and he put on him. And he said, "Thus shall we push the king of Syria," or the king, whichever one it was there. "Thus shall we push him. And you know, we're just going to overcome, and we're just going to..." That was what the words that they said to Jehoshaphat and to Ahab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? I'm not really wanting to just go out there in the world, you know. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same as Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Don't talk of the Lord's prophet like that. Jehoshaphat was in the wrong place. That was his problem. Here they were, and they were downing the Lord's prophet. 400 of these false prophets before him. And all Jehoshaphat can say is, oh, don't say that. But I want to tell you something. They prevailed on him, and it just about cost him his life. Dropping down to verse 10. And Zedekiah the son of Chenaanah had made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Dropping down to 13. And Micaiah said, now here comes the prophet of the Lord, the man that Ahab hates. I don't like to hear what this man says, because he always tells me I'm doing the wrong thing. He always says evil to me. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. And when he was come to the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. He was playing a little game here with the king, or whatever. And the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? I wonder why he knew that he wasn't telling him the truth about what God said. Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. Now, what he was saying was, their king's going to be killed here. Micaiah was prophesying something very hard here. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered. Saints, I want us to remember something. Listen to the word of the Lord when it comes to us. I have seen those that we have cried tears with and begged them, please, don't go down that road. Please don't go down that road. And I have heard their arguments and their support by their false prophets and all of those things. And I have seen them cry bitter tears afterward. I want to tell you something. Listen to the word of the Lord. Listen to the things of God. Learn to discern what is good for you and what is not. Take God's way. It'll bless your life. It'll make you get to heaven. It'll cause your children to have some desire to want to go to heaven instead of spending their life on the dross of this world. God wants it to be so in our lives. I want to read on here. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me but evil? Again he said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake after this manner, and another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now this wicked man was being enticed of evil, was he not? You know, this Micaiah, he saw this before it happened. And he told the king of Israel what was going to happen before it happened. And the king did not hear him, did he? Uh, going on down. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. And Jehoshaphat was sitting there and listening to this and did not turn around. He listened to the prophet of the Lord and went on with Ahab. He was in the wrong place, folks. He was in the wrong place. Don't get in the wrong place. They will persuade you to do things you never dreamed you would do. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't let those prophets speak to you. 400 they may be to one, but their word didn't mean much, did it? Then Zedekiah the son of Chenana came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, "Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee?" In verse 26 it says, "And say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction, until I return in peace. You go put this prophet in prison, till I prove him wrong." And then in verse 29, "And the king of Israel," so they did, they put Micaiah in prison, and they treated him harshly. And in verse 29, "The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and will go to the battle. But put thou on thy robes." So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to the battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, "Fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel." You make sure and get him. Get the king. That's all I want. I want the king. "And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, It is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed him about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him." You know, this morning, it is so much that way today. The devil gets on people's, he's after people. And Ahab lost his protection by departing from the Lord. And Jehoshaphat almost lost his life. He was a man of God and went and did this foolish thing. This morning, saints, let's don't do foolish things. Let's don't do things that get us into these kind of situations. And then people lose their vision. They lose their understanding. They lose their ability to follow after God. I want to tell you, God wants to be real in our life. Let's don't go to hear what the 400 prophets have to say. Let's don't go down and lose our discernment. I want to read, I know it's a little bit late this morning, but in Proverbs 7, I want to look at a place. I feel like the Lord gave this to me, so I want to share it before we go. Proverbs 7:7. This is speaking of a little bit of discernment here. The writer says, starting at 6, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones." What are simple ones? Folks that don't have much understanding. They're not quite able to take it in. "I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a man void of understanding." Didn't have any understanding. "Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house, in her own house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows." Now, you know, this morning, young folks, this is a trap that the enemy is getting our generation in everywhere. Everywhere. He said here, "I saw one that was simple. He just didn't understand. He didn't take it all in. And so I saw him, and I saw this lady approach him." And on down in verse 21, it says, "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield." Oh, her great way and her smell and her all the things and her looks and caused him to yield with the flattering of her lips. She forced him. How'd she force him with the flattering of her lips? By the things she said. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. I want to warn us this morning. I feel like the Lord gave this to me. I want to tell you something. Don't follow after everything that comes along that looks wonderful. It says he knew not that it was for his life. Another scripture says that it brings a man to a piece of bread. Nothing. No substance. No strength. No solidness. No building to a piece of bread. Don't go there. I want to tell you something. These scriptures in Proverbs, read the first, how many chapters there? Clear up to 9 or 10, I believe. It's still dealing with these issues. You know what? He knew not that it was for his life. I want to tell you something. God wants us to remain pure. He wants us to make choices like that. He wants us to decide in my mind so that my heart can follow. Or maybe my mind follows my heart. Decide in your heart that God, I'm not going to go that way. I realize it'll bring me to a piece of bread. You ever thought about those things? It'll bring you to a piece of bread. No substance, no honor, no strength, no livelihood. It brings people down, doesn't it? It ruins people. It takes away their grace. Takes away their life. It takes away the good things that they have in life. Don't go for it. Discern that this thing will hurt me. I don't care if I'm tempted or not. This thing will hurt me. You know, the Lord wants us to take that into our heart. These kind of things hurt people. Believe it. I believed it in my life. And I want to tell you, Satan will tempt you. All of us. Yes, he will. I've found that to be true with every... Satan will tempt from time to time. I want to tell you something. Decide in your heart. I believe the Word of God. I don't want to be brought to a piece of nothing. I don't want to be brought down in my heart and life until Satan destroys everything we've got. Keep yourself pure. Young folks, keep thyself pure. Keep yourself. The Lord has things He wants to give you in life. Beautiful things. A wonderful blessing that God has for His people. Don't let it bring you to be so. If you then be risen with Christ, Colossians 3 and 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Listen, this morning, set your affection on those things. Don't let the things of this world destroy you. God has some things that He wants to bless you with in your life, and He wants to bring you through until He can give you many, many riches of His blessing. I have found it to be so. I know others that have found it to be so. We have many witnesses of that, don't we? You know, this morning, humble ourselves before God. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Depart from those things and let God have His way in our lives. You want to see many good days? You want to see peace in your life? You want to see health in your home? You want to see those things that bless men all till the day they die and then for eternity? Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Pray for me.